In a future America ravaged by war and climate disaster, 16-year-old Sia Vale faces her graduation day with mingled hope and anxiety. Like every ambitious student in her small agricultural community, she dreams of being selected for the testing, the Commonwealth's prestigious program that identifies future leaders. When the ceremony ends without her name being called, her dream seems shattered. But the next morning brings unexpected news. Sia and three classmates have been chosen after all. What initially appears to be the opportunity of a lifetime quickly reveals itself as something far more sinister. Refusal is considered treason against the Commonwealth, they're told, when one student questions whether participation is optional. This marks the first indication that the testing isn't merely an honor, but a deadly obligation, a competition where academic challenges carry lethal consequences, and only the survivors will earn university admission. The night before Sia's departure, her father reveals a chilling truth during a twilight walk through their backyard. Under the gentle glow of solar light she crafted herself, he confesses that his own testing experience exists as a complete blank in his mind, all memories systematically erased upon completion. But fragments have returned through nightmares, visions of his testing partner dying in an explosion, of survival challenges in ruined landscapes, of faces that never reached the university. "Trust no one," he urgently whispers before they return to the house. This warning becomes the book's haunting refrain, challenging Sia's naturally trusting disposition. The memory erasure represents the ultimate institutional control, not merely monitoring behavior, but actively rewriting personal history. How can we maintain our core values when our formative experiences can be selectively removed? The testing's memory manipulation serves as a chilling metaphor for how institutions shape not just our opportunities, but our very understanding of who we are. The testing center's sterile environment, white walls, white floors, black desks, exactly matches her father's nightmares, transforming vague fears into concrete reality. The first phase consists of seemingly conventional written exams, but they contain a sinister element. They're deliberately designed to be impossible to complete in the allotted time. The testing's true nature becomes horrifyingly clear when Sia discovers her roommate Rhyme has hanged herself with a makeshift rope. Dr. Barnes coldly frames this suicide as a failure to handle pressure, stating it's better for the Commonwealth to learn this now. Even more disturbing, officials must have watched through surveillance cameras without intervening. The second phase introduces hands-on examinations with a brutal twist. Wrong answers will be penalized. While repairing a pulse radio, Sia watches in horror as Malachi triggers a booby trap that drives a nail into his eye, killing him instantly. Officials show no compassion, refusing to help and insisting Sia return to her station. Isn't this how many educational systems function, presenting themselves as pathways to success while actually enforcing conformity through fear? The team testing phase forces candidates to navigate the complex territory between collaboration and competition. Sia's group must tackle five distinct problems by matching each member's abilities to specific challenges. When Roman insists on attempting the first problem despite showing mediocre skills, Sia's suspicions lead to a crucial discovery. He has likely solved all five problems rather than just his assigned portion, creating a deadly trap. In the testing's ruthless framework, attempting to solve an already completed problem triggers severe penalties, often fatal ones. This situation creates a moral dilemma that crystallizes the testing's corrupting influence. Brick's determination to honor the original agreement, despite clear danger, represents the conflict between ethical behavior and survival instincts. "Because I don't want anyone else to die," Sia pleads, highlighting her struggle to maintain humanity within an inhuman system. The team phase reveals how systems that emphasize individual advancement while claiming to value collaboration create fundamental contradictions. These structures normalize betrayal by making it a rational strategy for success, a pattern present in many competitive environments where stated values of teamwork clash with reward systems that pit individuals against each other. The final testing phase challenges candidates to simply reach Tosu City alive through the ruins of Chicago. This survival test forces a clash between theoretical knowledge and practical survival skills. The devastated landscape, collapsed skyscrapers leaning against each other, and mutant vegetation with finger-length thorns symbolizes humanity's destructive capacity. Sia's methodical preparation reveals her practical nature as she selects essential items: a radiation-filtering water purifier, a compact handgun, and a comprehensive medical kit. Her mechanical expertise proves invaluable when she repairs a solar generator for emergency power. The greatest threats come not from the environment, but fellow candidates who've embraced eliminating competition as a valid strategy. When attacked by a crossbow-wielding assailant, Sia fires warning shots to drive them away rather than kill. This moral restraint becomes increasingly difficult as brutality escalates among her peers, raising a critical question: what kind of leaders does this process actually select? Throughout the testing, relationships form the emotional core of Sia's experience, particularly her developing romance with Tomas. Their partnership begins as a practical alliance during written exams, but gradually deepens through shared struggles. When Tomas is severely injured by an explosion, Sia makes the gutting choice to cauterize his wound despite knowing the agony it will cause him. She holds him down, ignoring his screams, because saving his life matters more than sparing him pain, a moment that crystallizes both their connection and the brutal choices the testing demands. The testing's environment systematically corrupts even genuine relationships through its zero-sum design. Will exemplifies this corruption, transitioning from a seemingly friendly ally into the mysterious crossbow killer stalking other candidates. His betrayal forces Sia to confront whether she can take a life to protect someone she loves. Perhaps most devastating are the mounting signs of Tomas's own darkness. Dried blood on his knife, his haunted expression when discussing missing candidates, and cryptic warnings that Tomas isn't who you think. This forces Sia to question not just their relationship, but her own judgment. How well can we truly know anyone when survival demands compromise? The testing's most profound violation is its manipulation of memory. After completing all phases, candidates undergo a final interview with truth serum, followed by complete memory erasure, leaving them aware they've been selected for university, but with no recollection of how they got there. This represents the ultimate institutional control, not just limiting choices, but rewriting personal history. Sia counters this violation by recording her memories on her brother's modified communication device, preserving both her experiences and the stories of fallen candidates. This act of remembrance becomes a form of resistance, refusing to let these lives be erased, even if her conscious memory is taken. When she awakens with no memory of the testing, the system appears victorious. Yet 3 weeks later, on her birthday, she discovers the hidden recording device with her own voice revealing the truth. This suggests that while institutions may control official narratives, individual truth can persist through unexpected channels. Sometimes the most powerful defiance isn't dramatic rebellion, but simply refusing to forget.